In the words of Eric A. Heller Wagner, blessed is the fire that burns deep in the soul.
It is the flame of the human spirit touched into being by the mystery of life.
It is the fire of reason, the fire of compassion, the fire of community, the fire of justice, and the fire of faith.
It is the fire of love burning deep in the human heart, the divine glow in every life. Come, let us worship together.
And now we'd like to invite our senior high youth to come up and join us as they light the chalice of our free faith. They will extend our chalice flame, and each youth will share words that are in their hearts.
Everything has meaning if you think about it long enough.
Appreciation of religious community.
Family. The warmth of love, the light of truth, and the energy of action.
Carpe diem, quam minimum credula postero.
Infinite diversity and infinite combinations.
Hi, I'm Camille McKenzie, and I'm going to be reading Oh, the Places You'll Go. Dr. Seuss. Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places, you're off and away. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself in any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the guy who will decide where to go. You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not-so-good street. And you may not find any you want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll head straight out of town. It's opener there in the wide open air. Out there, things can happen and frequently do to people as brainy and footsie as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. Just go right along, you'll start happening too. Oh, the places you'll go. You'll be on your way up, you'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be the best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're darked. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right, or right in three quarters? Or maybe not quite? or go around back and sneak in from behind? Simple it's not, I'm afraid you will find, for a mind-maker-upper to make up his mind. You can get so confused that you'll start into race down long, wiggled roads at a breaknecking pace and grind on for miles across weirdish, wild space, headed, I fear, toward a most useless place, the waiting place. For people just waiting, waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or a no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for the wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for a Friday night, or waiting, perhaps, for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. No, that's not for you. Somehow you'll escape all that waiting and staying. You'll find the bright places where boom bands are playing. With banner flip-flopping, once more you'll ride high, ready for anything under the sky, ready because you're that kind of guy. Oh, the places you'll go, there is fun to be done. There are points to be scored, there are games to be won. And the magical things you can do with that ball will make you the winningest winner of all. Fame, you'll be famous as famous can be, with the whole wide world watching you win on TV. Except when they don't, because sometimes they won't. I'm afraid that sometimes you'll play lonely games too. Games you can't win, because you'll play against you. All alone. Whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet some things that scare you right out of your pants. There are some down the road between hither and yon that can scare you so much you won't want to go on. But on you will go, through the weather be foul. On you will go, though your enemies prowl. On you will go, through the hack and crass howl. Onward up many a frightening creek, though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak. On and on you will hike, and I know you'll hike far and face up to your problems, whatever they are. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with strange birds as you go, so be sure when you step, step with care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never mix up your right foot with your left. And will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. 98 3/4% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains. So, be your name Buxbaum or Bixie or Bray or Mordecai Ali von Allen O'Shea, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So, get on your way.
I'm Matthew Sabin. I'm one of the senior high advisors to our high school youth. Bridging, passing from one place or idea to the next. When Ann and I were becoming new parents, we looked at the youth, specifically the teens in our UU congregation, and saw that we would be placing our children in the very best of hands. I was astonished last year when our seniors invited me to join the team, which helps to turn out such amazing teens. Being a senior high advisor has reminded me that we don't so much turn out our amazing kids as get out of their way and let them shine. They have so much to teach us. Today, as we celebrate the transition of our oldest youth into our youngest young adults, they will share their music, their voices, and their light. They will pass the flame to their juniors who follow them, and they will cross the bridge to join their elders. We will hear from them some aspect of what they have to give, what they have received from the community, and we will pass the symbol of their light to those who follow. We will receive them into the larger, or at least older, congregation as they cross the bridge. And on that note, I'll get out of their way.
I'm Joseph Wechselberger, and this reading is by Charles Magistro. I'm amused by the view that it's easy to be a Unitarian Universalist. It's as easy to be a Unitarian Universalist as it is to be persistent, courageous, and curious. It's as easy to be a Unitarian Universalist as it is to search the murky waters of life without sure charts to guide us or any guarantee that we will find a safe port to put down anchor. It's as easy to be a Unitarian Universalist as it is to overcome the natural fear of the unknown and venture forth with nothing to sustain us save our zest for living and hunger for new experience and knowledge. Our way in religion is not the way of ease. We are called to be sailors, for many worlds exist, waiting to be discovered. And not the least of these worlds are within ourselves. It takes as much persistence, courage, and curiosity to look into our own depths, to come to terms with the twin mysteries of being alive and having to die, to see ourselves in new and larger ways without being dishonest about our limitations, as it did for Columbus to sail thousands of miles into an unknown ocean until he found dry land.
It is indeed not an easy tradition into which you have stepped, into which we have invited our young people and with which we send them forth. It is indeed not an easy path. It requires persistence, courage, and curiosity, and we so deeply hope that you carry, you young folk, carry that forth with you across the bridge and into what awaits you on the other side.
I'm Dennis McKenzie, and this is a poem called Improvement by Edgar Albert Guest. The joy of life is living it, or so it seems to me, in finding shackles on your wrists, then struggling till you're free, in seeing wrongs and righting them, in dreaming splendid dreams, then toiling till the vision is as real as moving streams. The happiest mortal on the earth is he who ends his day by leaving better than he found to bloom along the way. Were all things perfect here, there would be naught for man to do. If what is old were good enough, we'd never need the new. The only happy time of rest is that which follows strife, and sees some contribution made unto the joy of life. And he who has oppression felt and conquered it is he who really knows the happiness and peace of being free. The miseries of earth are here, and with them almost cope. Who seeks for joy through hedges thick of care and pain must grope. Through disappointment, man must go to value pleasure's thrill. To really know the joy of health, a man must first be ill. The wrongs are here for man to right, and happiness is had by striving to supplant with good the evil and the bad. The joy of life is living it and doing things of worth, in making bright and fruitful all the barren spots of earth, in facing odds and mastering them and rising from defeat, and making true what once was false and what was bittersweet. For only he who knows perfect joy, whose little bit of soil is richer ground than what it was when he began to toil.
And now Beryl Sabin and Gabe McGinnis will share their voices and their visions, and as our blessed community creates sweet harmony.
My name is Beryl Sabin, and I have never not been a Unitarian Universalist. One of my earliest memories is of tramping through shin-high snow in the parking lot of our New England Fellowship back when my family lived in Connecticut. Purple and black snow boots carrying my four-year-old self through the painted lines and around cars into the old sanctuary. That church changed buildings. We moved. I've been to my fair share of UU fellowships between then and now. When we first got here, I was scared. I was 8 and hadn't actually had experience with Unitarians outside of that congregation in Connecticut. Everyone here, it seemed, had been in Boise their whole lives, youth and adult alike. I soon found out that that did not matter. The only real difference was the pronunciation of the S in Boise. And I became just as comfortable running through these halls as I had been back in Connecticut. It did take a little while to get settled, ironing out school placement for the first few weeks into the autumn. But once I got settled, the RE program was filled to the brim with kids from similar backgrounds and volunteer adults who really dedicated their time to us. It was comforting to have had this to fall back on for these last 7 years. A year ago February, I found a space that called to me within the larger Unitarian Universalist community, the Youth Conference of the Pacific Northwest District, or shortened to by participants to YouthCon, or more often simply Con. Suddenly, UU teens weren't just this small handful of people I've known for almost half of my life. They were a mass, a couple hundred strong of similarly minded youth, committed to supporting each other, uniting in song and faith, and I found myself awestruck. This experience was fantastic, will be again in early May, truly a marvel. So much so that I found myself wishing that I would have had something like this at home. And I realized that I do have all of that here. I've known what college I'm going to next year since October. I learned I was accepted in mid to late January, but that is just semantics. Next year, I'm shipping off back to the East Coast. Understand that while I am excited about my future unfolding before me, one of the first things I did upon learning of my admission was to track down the Unitarian Universalist meeting of South Berkshire, the closest UU to my intended school. Since I was small, Unitarian Universalism has been in my life. This is the point I mean to drive home here. I hope it remains this way as I bridge into adulthood with real-world things to distract me, like insurance and grocery shopping. That I can come back to a spiritual home, wherever I find it, under the moniker of Unitarian Universalism.
Hello, my name is Gabe McGinnis. When I was asked to come before you and talk, I was given some very simple guidelines. First off, it had to be appropriate, which eliminated a lot of crowd-pleasing options, but well. Second off, I was asked to describe my beliefs and how they had changed through my time at Booth and Booth's influences. And I thought, that's going to be rather difficult. Because honestly, my beliefs are highly personalized and very, very strange. And I've never been particularly good with specifics. But I figured I could stand up here and give you all a brief highlights reel, as it were. I guess the biggest change in belief I have as a result of Boof is that you largely cured my religiophobia. When I was younger, like most people, I had a desire to pin all of the troubles of the world on some form of scapegoat and decided that religion was the obvious choice. I, for a very long time, refused to attend Booth with my mother specifically for that reason. Finally agreeing to show up just so I could attend a program which is either called Owls or Owl, depending on which universe you exist in. And this was really the first caring, open religious community I encountered that I, at the time, identified as religious. That was kind of odd, because really this is the third of three major religions that had a big influence on me. The first being my father's native beliefs, which I've always had a very strong, positive experience with. The second being probably the most influential religion in the world today. It is very, very large one, very, very new, not Christianity or Hinduism or Buddhism or any of those ones you might be thinking of. Rather, it's that great, big, bizarre beast of a religion known as science. That's kind of interesting. A lot of people think science isn't a religion. I came to the conclusion a few years back that science is a religion, rather ironically, by a process of logical deduction. Simply put, the definition of religion which I go off of is that religion is belief in something which cannot be proven. And because humans are very well known to be fickle in our senses and be very prone to delusion, therefore you cannot actually prove anything. So since nothing can be proved, which means every single scientific principle has to be taken rather as a matter of fact, it has to be taken as a matter of faith, science therefore is a religion. Of course, along those same lines, I can't prove it, I'm even talking to you people. So, please excuse me if I'm just standing up here talking to myself. Okay, surprising as this might sound, I was not trying to confuse you all with that. I was simply summarizing one of the simpler beliefs I have. Now, honestly, I believe all kinds of stuff. And I could stand up here and talk at you guys all day. But sadly, I have a set time limit. So I should probably wrap up about here. Now, I know I didn't actually say what much of that has to do with Booth and Unitarian Universalism and all that, but as I mentioned before, I'm not very good with specifics and citing things. And most of the ideas which I generally attribute to myself, I probably just heard somewhere else and forgot where I heard it. My normal response to such things is, all of my beliefs are I found a bunch of dots and I connected them. But Booth is generally a very good place for finding dots. So I thank you all for that.
Would the senior high youth please come up and gather in front of our beautiful picture of butterflies? And the flame is passed along. The tall candle was lit by a bridging senior, and the flame will pass along to our lantern and will bring that out to the bridge.
Please join our bridging youth out by the bridge.